But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked him. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by held insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you're going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes down to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Thank you, Wendy, and thank you to Joe and Andrew for those long readings. What is unique about Christianity? What is it that's distinctive about our faith? Because we live in a multi-faith society, don't we? And increasingly, I don't know if you've noticed this, increasingly society sees itself as secular. In other words, non-religious. And Sometimes society in Britain today tries to lump all religions in together. For example, universities and hospitals are designed these days with multi-faith chapels. Clergy are even sometimes asked to organise multi-faith worship. That doesn't happen, by the way. You can have multi-faith buildings, you can have multi-faith spaces, airport chapels, for example. You can even have multi-faith discussions and seminars and so on, but not multi-faith worship. If you try and do that, you get in no end of a tangle. So what is it that sets Christian faith apart from other religions? What is it that's distinctive about Christianity? Well, one answer is Jesus Christ himself. Other religions usually teach a way of salvation. Do this and you will be saved. Buddhism, for example, rather strange atheistic religion without any personal God at all, just a concept of nirvana. Buddhism teaches you to renounce this world and to seek enlightenment beyond it. Hinduism has many, many different gods, many sacrifices, many things that you need to do. Judaism requires, of course, obedience to the law, a lifestyle in the Jewish culture and way of living. But Christianity is firstly a person and not things to do. Now, people often find that a bit puzzling because our natural instinct asks, well, how can I try and be good? What can I do? How do I behave? And so on. But Christian faith is first about Jesus himself. And being good, well, that follows on afterwards. Behavior is not an entry requirement into our faith. It's a consequence. So Christianity is centered on a person, not around actions, behaviors, or things to do. Jesus himself is distinctive. But then, this week, I read this, the Perfectionism book. And it claims that grace is the unique thing about Christianity. Does anybody here remember the Grace Course? Did any of you come on that? Yeah. I don't know, it was a year ago, year and a half ago, something like that. But it was an excellent course, I thought. And it drummed home the message that God has given us everything already. And we don't have to make efforts of our own to earn God's favour, because Jesus has done all that already. Grace means God's free gift, his generous gift, unmerited by us, unearned by anything that we could do, just given, God's grace. And this book is really written for people who find that difficult to accept, really hard to grasp, because perfectionists are those who always want to push further, try harder, people who are never really satisfied. Now, I know at first glance that might seem like a good thing, having high standards and doing things well and so on. But on reflection, it's not quite so good, because being dissatisfied is kind of a permanent state for perfectionists. Never resting, never feeling happy with what you've done, always wanting something a little bit further and a bit more. And the balanced life, says this book, the better way is not about being lazy, it's not about having low standards somehow, but it's actually about judging when to rest and when to act. It's about making good judgments. It's about pacing yourself. It's about knowing when to push harder and when to lie back and relax. So what does all that have to do with Palm Sunday? With Christ, with the entry into Jerusalem and his crucifixion, the story that we've just heard read? Well, in short, Palm Sunday and Holy Week is where we see God's grace most clearly. Because this week is where our salvation was won, as Jesus gave his life on the cross. At first sight, people might have thought it was a defeat, but on reflection, it was a victory. At first look, Christ on the cross was an ignominious end to a good man, but on reflection, it was a triumph. At first reading, you might have thought Jesus had become a victim of evil. But on the second look, he was the agent of good. There are so many hints in the story, aren't there? Do you remember the notice that they put above his head? The King of the Jews. Now that was meant to be the criminal charge against him, the accusation. But looking back, it's true, isn't it? It's a glorious spiritual truth. The priests and the teachers of the law who mocked at him. Ooh, he saved others, but he can't save himself, can he? Ironically, how right they were. He lays down his life in order to save others. And at the end, that streetwise testimony of the Roman centurion, a man who had doubtless seen so many men crucified right in front of him there. He'd seen so many die. And he looked there open-mouthed at Jesus and he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Francis Schaeffer said, Christianity is both the easiest and the hardest religion. We need only come with empty hands and then learn to sit on them. I love it. Sit on them. Why? Because the hard work has already been done. It's been completed by Jesus on the cross. That's why Friday is called Good. That's why Christianity is about God's grace. So this Holy Week, can I plead with you, please don't try to behave well. Please don't work hard to be good, because that's not Christianity. Christian faith starts with Christ Jesus and with what he has done for us. So this Holy Week, delve deeper into Jesus, into the way that he's given his life, his all, for you and for me. It's all grace.